Welcome back to the Exceedo Playbacks podcast, the podcast bringing you the latest industry news, trends, and tech advancements in the OTT and streaming industry. My name is Stanley Ogier, and this is episode number 2, and I am joined alongside my co-host, Neil Van Zyl. Neil, how are you doing today?
Hey, Stanley. It's great to be back. I'm really excited for this episode. I don't know if you want to, but we should just dive right in.
Okay, man. Yeah, before we actually dive into some of the content that we're going to be talking about today, let's talk about your trip to Vegas in general. I mean, when I was here in Ontario, it was 5 degrees and raining every day. But talk to me about Vegas, man. Outside of NAB, how was your trip?
It's a work trip. I was working the whole time. There was one evening we did get to check out a Golden Knights game, you know, just on our own time, of course. So everyone, we just bought some tickets and we went and caught the Jets actually demolished the Knights. It was an awesome game, though, and a lot of fun. That arena is incredible. I don't know if you've ever been, but I highly recommend it. And I had no idea, but it is like literally right downtown. It's wow. Behind the New York casino or resort. Have you ever been there? Like, I actually don't know how they fit it in there. None of it made any sense.
I've never left Ontario in my life, but I have been to our Scotiabank Arena downtown here in Toronto. But talk to me about what that atmosphere looked like, because I've heard so many great things about T-Mobile Arena.
Electric, absolutely electric. You know, they had a huge drum team going. There was always music playing. Your chest was like vibrating. It was awesome. And of course, there was a couple times where Vegas did score, and I mean, they ended up winning the series. But nonetheless, they had the white towels for everyone, and that it was just a sea of white there when everyone was waving the towels. It was crazy. It was really cool. A lot of fun.
It sounds like the whiteout came to Vegas, whereas they were supposed to be in Winnipeg, because that's actually a feature of the Winnipeg Jets Arena, which is ironic. Anyways, man, that's super awesome. So now I'm going to give you permission, because I know you're just dying to tell us all about NAB. So have at it. How is NAB? And just give me, you know, the full 10-15 second pitch about what the centennial year was all about for you.
Yeah, so we're going to break it down a little bit more in depth here, but it was definitely really great to see. There was a lot of talks going on at the same time as the show floor, and I was happy and I was lucky enough to sit into a couple of them. And it was all the big things that you wanted to hear about, you know? And we'll break it down a little bit more, but AI, XR, just content production in the world of content creators. There's a lot of really interesting things that they were discussing, and it was just something, it was a lot of perspectives that I wasn't necessarily expecting, so that was great to see. So what we've done is we've actually, we spoke to a lot of people at the conference. We spoke to customers, partners, and Exceedo employees, and we just asked them a couple questions to see what how they were thinking, how they were feeling. And what we ended up doing is just asking most of them what their most unexpected or interesting takeaway was from NAB this year, and we got some awesome answers.
Okay, yeah, so let's talk about what episode number 2 is going to look like here then going forward.
Like I said, we've got a bunch of recordings from everyone at the show, and thank you to everyone involved. But we're going to play them back, and we're going to hear what they have to say and comment on it a little bit. So why don't we hop right into it?
You used the word playback. I love that.
Moving on from that. Up first, we are going to play Brad Danks, CEO of OutTV's take, and Geronimo Macanas, CEO of Jump. Let's hear what they have to say. Okay, we have Brad here from OutTV. Brad, what was the most interesting or unexpected takeaway from NAB this year?
Well, I'm going to say that the thing that I'm seeing the most is that everything is being focused on getting back to business, finding ways to monetize current content. I mean, the big idea stuff is still around. You see AI and other stuff, but everybody is focusing on monetization in the business now. So it may not be the real super sexy stuff of the past, but it's more, this is how you can make money and here's how you can do it. So you kind of feel that retrenchment that's going on in the whole industry right now is playing out across the floor. And that's the thing I keep noticing the most.
Okay, I am here with Geronimo. What was the most interesting or unexpected aspect for NAB for you this year?
Hello, thanks for having me here. I think during NAB, a lot of conversations, and it's not unexpected, but it's really a trend that I see and that really makes the difference compared with other years, is that all media and entertainment companies are thinking in sustainable growth. So instead of just betting for and pushing for growth, they now rationalize that they really need to delight consumers, that really need to make a sustainable business. And that's something that really, I think, technology and NAB is a fantastic forum for finding companies that really can help with that.
Okay, yeah, that was a very interesting response from Brad, especially in a conference that talks about the latest and greatest in broadcasting and OTT. It's interesting to hear about how big a focus is on, well, getting back to business. So why do you think that is?
It's been obviously an interesting 3 years in the industry, and to finally have everything going back at full power is a big deal. And it's great that we are moving again. Obviously, the current economic situation is so that people are starting to cut back on innovations and focus more on internal stuff, ways they can optimize or increase performance. That's why another one of the big focuses was AI at the conference. But I mean, Murgesh spoke about this in episode one. If you didn't get a chance, I highly recommend the episode. It was great to talk to Murgesh Desai. But the current economic situation, it really makes companies focus on stability, retention, and protecting their assets rather than trying to grow at all costs. And that's exactly what Hieronymo said as well. Likely, what we're going to continue to see it over this next year. And I mean, Zuckerberg said it as well. This is a year of efficiency. So a lot of companies are going to be looking internally on this one.
Yeah. So, I mean, economic conditions aside, do we still think that there's going to be any room for innovation?
100%. Necessity is the mother of invention, and I do believe that when you're forced to reevaluate your own tech stack, your own performance issues, and you give yourself less of a budget, then you start thinking outside of the box. And I think we're going to see a lot more coming forward from these companies, whether it's small innovations or major ones. I can't say for sure, but I do believe that as you look inside to improve performance, you're going to start seeing different ways to innovate. Obviously, with OTT providers, one of the big focuses is going to be to hold on to your users and to do the things to improve your platform, but do it in a way that is cost efficient. So there's going to be a lot of focus on that, and maybe it's just smaller improvements over time, but those little bits can add up.
Okay, yeah, let's focus on that point a little bit more about user retention and the quality of service. So obviously, content we know is key, but beyond content, how does a service take aim to provide an actual quality service to its end users?
Content is a huge part of it, as we've talked about. There's been a bunch of surveys, and now somewhere between 40 to 50% of users or so are willing to churn out of a service once they've finished watching the content they want to. So if you're going beyond that, you have to figure out ways to make the experience a delight. And again, that's what Hieronymo said. It's about delighting users. So what can you do? It's providing easier experiences, better recommendations, more ways to get to the content they want to quickly. Little improvements again, and whether that is better accessibility features like voice features or captions, even the little things that we've seen from services for a while now, like the skip intro functionality or auto rolls. But being able to easily access the content you want to watch and making it almost a zero barrier to entry to keep watching what you want to watch is going to really drive the retention. The other ways you can do it is prices, right? So now what we're seeing is people are providing multi-tier options where they essentially give you three methods that you can subscribe. You know, entirely free, full ad loads, partial cost, partial ad loads, and no ads, full cost. So you're basically maximizing the amount of users you can hit based on their price sensitivity. So now then that helps you reach more users that your content wouldn't necessarily help with. All right, on to the next guest. We have Craig DeWitt, general manager over at Midco Sports. Let's hear what he has to say.
Okay, I am here with Craig from Midco Sports. Craig, what was the most interesting or unexpected aspect of NAB for yourself this year?
There's been a lot of talk about cloud productions, and for us, that's an interesting concept. Currently, a lot of our productions for sports are on-premise, and do we go to the cloud? Do we rely on our internet connections? So there's a lot of talk and a lot of looking at that. The other thing that's really blown my mind is some of the streaming OTT possibilities that are out there, hooks and ties into live sports betting, into graphics, into statistics, and some of the things that can go out on OTT platforms and our streaming platform. Really mind-blowing stuff this year. Some of the stuff that you're showing here at Aceto has just blown my mind. I've been in the business for 20 plus years, and I can't even concept some of this stuff, so I can't wait to see what the future looks like.
Okay, I think that is a good extension of what we just talked about, but through the lens of a sports service specifically. There's clear consideration for operational efficiencies and considering different solutions for production, but I think something we could speak more to with our experience is what Craig mentioned near the end, which is in regards to improving the actual user experience. So let's talk about that for a bit. What exactly does the next generation sports experience look like, and what features do you think are on the horizon, and what goes into making them a possibility?
A big focus coming up for sports experiences is increased social interactivity. So that means things like watch parties, where you can watch along with your friends, live chats, whether public or private, so anyone watching the game can communicate about it. Gamification, you know, including stuff like surveys or polls that you can compare results with your friends. So say you're going to say, who's going to get to 30 points first, Jimmy Butler or Jalen Brunson, that sort of thing. And you can then compare after the game, and you can keep track of it in a leaderboard. Eventually you could lead to rewards or whatever. You can do anything with it. Of course, there's also going to be stuff just like extra integrations. You know, sports betting directly on the app, live Twitter feeds so you can keep track of what's going on in social media as well. The whole idea is just to provide more ways to interact with what you enjoy and keep the fan engaged. One of the things that we've been working on here at Aceto is called Build for Sports, where we're creating these building blocks for each of these features so that we can streamline the ground up development for these sports applications. And I mean, it doesn't end there. There's tons of future applications that aren't quite there, but would be coming shortly. With the AI revolution happening right now, there's opportunities for natural language processing with AI. So say you want to view, your AI assistant to bring up a stats comparison of, let's say, Draymond Green versus Anthony Davis, you know, and just ask it to compare the two, and it'll pop it up for you as an overlay on top of the screen. There's tons of different things you can do there, and I mean, that doesn't even mention XR. XR can give you a very similar idea where it can enhance the experience around the screen. So you're watching in XR, you have the TV screen in front of you, and then on the sides you have the stats, the overlays, and the Twitter feeds, and every sort of interaction. So you get the 100-inch TV, and then you still get access to all of what you want. All right, up next, we have Ashley Desatnik and Gary Pelletier. They are both sales directors with us here at Aceto. Let's go ahead and hear what they have to say.
Okay, we have Ashley Desatnik here. Ashley, what was the most interesting or unexpected aspect of NAB for you this year?
The first thing I want to talk about that I thought was actually really exciting for us at the show is the partnership that we had with Amagi and Think Analytics for bringing out the Fast 2.0 product, which is effectively providing personalized fast channels for a user. And it's actually been incredibly well received both in the Amagi booth, in the Aceto booth, and in the Think Analytics booth. A lot of interest in terms of how it's gonna actually help help evolve the fast channels. At the end of the day, when you have a proliferation of 1,000, 2,000 channels, it's the same old problem for users. Search and discovery is really key, and this way, using the ability to actually determine the user behavior and all of the interests of a particular user to create a personalized channel or even a quasi a personalized EPG for a user is a very powerful concept. Secondly, I think another really cool technology that we saw was from Curve Interactive, which uses machine learning and artificial intelligence for being able to create a very interactive video shopping experience or e-commerce experience for whether it's for users and also being able to showcase brands' products to actually entice users to actually purchase, whether it's on the big screen or potentially using a second screen experience for making purchases.
So Gary, what is the most interesting thing that you've seen coming out of this week at NAB?
Probably not a surprise, and I'm perhaps not the first one to say this, but AI and the impact that AI has and it's going to continue to have on all aspects of the video chain. Much of the hardware and the, you know, the vendors here are selling AI-driven, even hardware in some cases for production and also for video workflow. So I've heard that from customers I've spoken to. In order to really make it as efficient as possible and as small of a team as possible to process the data and categorize the videos and serve most optimal experience for customers. So AI really is going to be, I think, revolutionize what we're going to see over the next 3 to 5 years, more than we even imagine today. That's my prediction, and that's something that I've noticed and really appreciated so far here at NAB this year in 2023.
So before we talk about something that Ashley and Gary mentioned in AI, let's dig a little bit more deeper into something that Ashley brought up with FAST 2.0. So FAST has been a growing trend in the industry in the last couple of years. It's not anything particularly new. We talked about it in our last episode with Murgesh. So what exactly makes for a FAST 2.0 experience?
You're right. FAST isn't new. I mean, free ad-supported streaming TV has been around for a while. Pluto TV was founded back in 2014. And I mean, the amount of services has just been skyrocketing since. The one problem has been, though, is while the services have been growing and they've been adding more and more channels, you've now run into the issue where you don't have a way to find the content you want easily. I mean, some of these services have 1,500, 2,000 channels. So the idea behind FAST 2.0 is to get you better at or get you access easier to the content you want. 2.0 includes hyper-personalization. So what it does is it takes the playback data and sends it to Think Analytics. And then from there, Think Analytics spins up some recommendations and sends that data to Amagi. Amagi, using the viewing data, then spins up a personal EPG for you and sends it back to Exceedo, where Exceedo renders it. So what does that mean? Essentially, it means that each user is getting a private EPG or a unique EPG created directly for them. So say you like sports and action movies, then your channels might look like ESPN, Sportsnet, SportsCenter, or whatever. And then you'll also have an Action 24/7 channel. The idea is to give you the personalization aspect so you can still enjoy the content you love in a lean-back experience. So you don't have to go through the effort to scroll through all the channels and find something that you like. One of the other nice features is the idea of a channel solely for you. So this is just VOD assets spun up and played together directly for you. So this could be a combination of sports and action movies. The whole focus, again, is just enhancing the lean-back experience that FAST is already perfect for doing. One of the interesting things is, when do people even like to watch FAST? And there was a great study from Endscreen Media. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, I recommend you do. They did a graph where they showed when people are watching FAST versus when they're watching SVODs. And it was almost directly opposite. So people were interested in watching FASTs during the middle of the week, whereas they were interested in watching SVODs on the weekend. So what does that show? It shows that you want to turn your brain off a little bit and just kind of relax and play something. So that is where the personalization aspect comes in, to reduce that effort a little bit more and make it just a more enjoyable experience.
Yeah, so it's great to see some concrete examples of what you were just talking about earlier with enriching the end user experience to drive sort of that stickiness, really, of a video experience. It also leads well into the next thing that I wanted to pick out that both Gary and Ashley had mentioned. So with talk of recommendations, there's obviously talk of also machine learning and other different forms of AI that follow that. It's actually especially interesting to see it being applied to video e-commerce, something we touched on earlier. It's also something that I hadn't even considered. So did you see the demo yourself, Neil? And can you speak to some of or how some of that AI worked?
Unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to see the demo that Ash was talking about, but AI was definitely a big talking point at the conference. I mean, the idea of integrating e-commerce into OTT experiences is definitely growing in popularity. Like he said, Curve is doing it, and Amazon also has some technology for it. Using this contextual recognition to spin up links for purchasing, like I was mentioning earlier, where you can recognize the player who scored a goal and spin up a link directly to their jersey, is going to add more value to fans and add a new monetization method for the platforms. There's two components to AI and OTT that you can kind of break it down into: UX and production. UX includes stuff like content discovery, information surfacing using natural language, where I was talking about requesting stats specifically, but and then it can present it directly to you. Whereas production is the background stuff, you know, creating captions or subtitling, auto-generating metadata, smart thumbnail generation or image recognition. You can go even further, of course, into the actual storage and delivery, and even using AI to help storyboard content. Gary mentioned a great point that the hardware is readily accessible. Previously, to train one of these models, you needed some serious computing power, but now like a standard Mac or PC is enough to do it. It's going to be a very interesting few years to see what's happening. I don't know exactly what's going to be the new use cases over the next 3 to 5 years, but as someone who's already trying to leverage ChatGPT in their work, I am definitely interested to see what's going to happen. All right, let's head to the next section. Up next, we're going to hear from Sankar Jayaram, CEO of Quintar, and Jose Somolinos, Exceedo's XR lead. Let's go ahead and play those back.
Okay, so I am here with Sankar. What was the most interesting or unexpected aspect of NAB for you?
Well, the first thing I saw was that NAB is, again, what it used to be. So many people in one place, and all the booths and everything. It's good to see that again. Technology has advanced in all phases, which tells me that although the pandemic stopped us from meeting in person, technology moved still. And I'm here at the Exceedo booth, and some of the AR, XR user interfaces and user experience they are creating are pretty amazing. And you know, I'm excited to see where that goes.
Fantastic, thank you very much.
So Jose, what was the most interesting or unexpected aspect of NAB this year for you?
One of the things I've seen this NAB have been companies using video as a way to promote their brands. So this is traditional companies and regular like broadcasters and operators are not now being the main visitor at NAB. There are a lot of small brands that are creating content to promote their products, right? Like you can have like a branded content to talk about a specific, like for example, I met a company that he was doing products with bourbon and snacks, and they were having like a influencers. And they were having like a mega influencers creating products for their brands. And then also they were themselves creating their own products, and they were linking to that, to the story of how these products were created with video. And for them, one aspect of what they saw in our booth is that we were able to link the video to the product in augmented reality and create like a connection telling the story. For example, creating a 3D model of the bourbon distillery and explaining how all the process works. And I think that this, when we're able to tell a story, is when our customers, you know, are happy to have this connection with their user, right? This is very interesting.
Okay, Sankar saw a lot of opportunity for applying XR experiences in the OTT space at NAB. So did you see anything similar there?
Sankar had a great point there again about it was good to see everyone back in action. This sentiment was shared by a lot of people we spoke to. Just happy to be back in person and see the industry moving again. But the idea of using XR to enhance the story you're telling is an incredible idea, especially for something like a distillery, as Jose said. XR can provide a whole new layer of interactivity. As we continue to apply XR to experiences rather than just for the sake of augmenting reality, it will start to grow more and more. It's not just about having XR for the sake of XR. It's to enhance the experience. And we've talked about this a little bit already with the sports experiences, right? Overlays in hockey for shot speed or to even track the puck, like you were saying. Say at the Masters, you can compare Jon Rahm's drive on hole 3 with Mickelson's. There's ways you can go beyond what is the normal experience, and it doesn't just apply to what we've thought of as the regular content verticals. You can apply it to things like Jose said with the interactive tours for distilleries.
Yeah, so I'm glad that you brought up the marketing vertical and the example from Jose's clip. And I think another interesting thing to point out is that it's not quite a traditional OTT vertical. So what do you make of that?
You know, with the advancements in TV tech, we're seeing the amalgamation of screens into different use cases. I mean, Samsung TV Plus is now available on Samsung's fridges. It only makes sense that you start integrating different or unexpected verticals into 10-foot or OTT experiences, really. Any piece of content that makes sense in a video experience can be applied to OTT. Unfortunately, we didn't have a chance to play his clip, but Danny Shaw, VP of Sales over at Highbox, had a great point about experience or about a customer meeting where they were looking to apply or add university lectures to an online platform. During the pandemic, we saw a lot of traction for fitness experiences on CTVs. And of course, now social media apps are starting to launch their apps on TVs as well. Jose mentioned it perfectly. Video is a great method of marketing your brand, regardless of the brand type now. So that as long as you're leveraging video as the medium. And if you want to provide a little extra value there as well, then you can integrate XR on top of that.
Yeah, so let's talk about what one of those XR cases look like. So for example, with e-commerce, how does that XR experience go from the point of view of an end user?
Yeah, again, I've mentioned it a couple times here, but e-commerce is a great solution. Purchasing a jersey or before you purchase the jersey, you get to try it on. There's a bunch of different use cases that you can use it in. I mean, I don't know if you've seen it recently, but the NBA has this new feature in one of their apps where you can put a scan of yourself, or you can scan yourself using mobile AR and put yourself directly into a game. So you can either augment yourself into experiences or you can augment things onto yourself. Like I said, with the trying on a jersey, there's a ton of different ways that we can use it. And those are just a few that we're leveraging now. Obviously there's going to be a lot more coming with that.
Yeah. I saw the use case of, again, putting yourself into an actual NBA game on a Twitter feed or one of our Slack channels here at Exceedo. And it was absolutely, I don't know how to put this into words, maybe it very new, very exciting, ridiculous, might I add. Anyways, really cool idea and concept, and just sort of those are really cool ideas that you know, are new and exciting, I think.
I mean, who doesn't want to see themselves break a double and hit a three? Like, it's pretty exciting. It's pretty cool. So yeah, absolutely. All right, that's all for our interviews with guests from NAB. Thank you so much to everyone we spoke to. We really appreciate it. And hopefully we'll see everyone again back at NAB next year. Stanley, I'm going to pass it back to you to finish up.
Okay, well, that wraps up episode number 2 of the Exceedo Playback Podcast. Thank you again so much for listening. And of course, you can reach out to us at playback.podcast@exceedo.tv or reach out to us on LinkedIn directly or through the exceedo.tv company page. Thank you again so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.